Welcome to Music is Bad and You Should Feel Bad. We're back, and here's the deal. If you don't know, this will be going out both on our RSS feed, but also on the YouTube channel. If you haven't checked that out, if you type "your music is bad," all is one word, into YouTube, it comes up. And we'll be posting the full episodes, but we'll also maybe start doing some shorter format stuff, which is more friendly with YouTube's algorithms. But the podcast will keep on casting, so don't worry about that. So first order is we went to a metal show a week or so ago, Septic Flesh and Dark Funeral.
Oh yeah, this was unintentional comedy.
All right, so all I knew going in is that Septic Flesh's new album was pretty good, and so it seemed like it'd be a good show.
Yeah, so Septic Flesh have always been one of those bands that, like, they were just around, right? And I didn't really care. And then the one that came out, they put out last year, Codex Omega, like, everyone was like, oh, this album's so awesome. So I listened to it, and it was really good. It was basically like, I know people super hate Dimmu Borgir, but imagine if, like, Dimmu Borgir were good, like, right? Like, it's like that sort of, like, black metal style with, you know, the mix of the harsh and the clean vocals, and then, like, with the orchestral elements, the thing that's different is that the orchestral elements were clearly written by someone who knew something. Like, I don't have no idea who wrote them.
Eric was saying something at the show about one of the guys is, like, does, like, some composition or something.
Someone has
a
degree or has scored films or something. Mm. It sounds very film scorey, but, like, there's actual, like, themes and counterpoint and stuff. It's not just like, oh, I use the string patch on my keyboard. Like, I mean, it was, like, really well done. So I was like, oh, maybe we gotta go to the show.
Feel the orchestra. Feel the choir. And here comes the great presenter.
And then, like, so the show sold out, but, like, I guess everyone was there to see Dark Funeral, like.
Oh, yeah, because it was just packed for Dark Funeral, but then when they finished, like, I thought it was just the, you know, in-between bands thing, but, like, they didn't come back.
Yeah, people didn't come back. Right, so it was, I mean, there were still, like, a lot of people there, but, right, it was, like, packed during Dark Funeral, and it was not during Septic Flesh. And, like, but, like, Dark Funeral were terrible. It was, like, exactly what you would expect if you've ever heard Dark Funeral on the album, which is that it's totally straight ahead. And, like, and they had, like, all this dumb, like, they had all this dumb stage, like, their projections. It wasn't, like, evil or spooky. It was, like, I'm at the Halloween store.
Right? Right.
I was just, like, like, it's just parody.
But they didn't spend as much money at the Halloween store as that other black metal band we saw with, like, the ghost mirror thing.
Had the whole Carrick Egren?
Yeah. And they had that whole big thing just so that, like, once or twice it could be, like, a hologram of a ghost lady.
Right. There was no one wearing, like, a necromantic band leader jacket.
Yeah.
So whatever. They sucked. But at least, like, I don't know. At least they sucked in a somewhat amusing and totally straightforward way. Like, it wasn't like they did crazy stuff that you're like, why did you waste your time doing this? They literally were just like, we're a black metal band. And you're like, okay, good for you. Like, apparently that's cash in some checks because a lot of people were there and who then left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So then Septic Flesh was, so they did, it was weird, right? Because, so first of all, they did not attempt to sing any of the clean singing parts, which that's fine. Like, because as I know from seeing Soilwork, the worst thing you can do is attempt to sing the parts that you cannot sing. Like, that is a disaster and a quick way to derail your show. So he just kind of, like, less growled them. Like, I don't really know. So okay, that was okay. But then the thing, like, their set was just goofy. Mm-hmm. Like they were tight enough, but okay, just I'm trying to run down in my mind all the goofy stuff.
Right. Well, so the most important is the thing that he's okay. So the first time he said this, it made total sense. It seemed really cool, right? So the guy's
but the reason you have to set up the reason why there's banter in between every single song, because they would leave the stage.
Oh, right. They did that.
After every single song, they would like, and I don't know if it was because they were playing to a click, and like they had this thing. They had a very like modern setup where like there was no gear on stage aside from the drum kit. So I think, like, I don't know if they were, like, trying to reset up for the next track, but they would, like, walk off in tune, I guess, between every song. So they would walk off stage, right? And, like, a lot of times they would turn the lights down.
Yeah.
And then he would come back. And then you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So so they're from Greece, right?
I think it's Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy would, you know, of course, still in his death metal voice, you know, he'd be like, "My friends," he'd be like, "My friends, I am going to count to three and then we will destroy." And then he would count to three and like they would mosh or whatever. And like the first time that was fine. I was like, that's good crowd work. This guy knows what he's doing. Keep shit moving. But then he kept saying the same thing. Right.
It was like he had a phrase book.
Right. Right? He's like, "My friends."
Like, but my friends.
First of all, you say "my friends" constantly. I was like, "Are we at a deli or like a diner?"
Right,
like,
right, yeah.
Yeah,
no, like it was
New York establishment.
It was totally like he had the New York phrase book. He like that was the only English he knew, and so that was just he was gonna use it between every single song.
And then with the counting every time, it started to sound like metal Sesame Street.
Oh yeah, totally.
Also with the voice too, because he was already. I mean, he was doing, you know, death metal voices are like really like a
Cookie Monster,
a hair away from Muppet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From Muppet voices. You got Cookie Monster. I mean, King Diamond kind of sounds a little bit like Elmo sometimes.
The thing was, like, it was the between song manager, but then he started doing it like during the songs.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Because they would do the parts where it's like there's no singing because you get like the riff, whatever, and you'd be like, "My friends," like try to amp everyone up to mosh, right, or whatever. And he kept saying it, and it was just like, it was just funny because you're just like, dude, like, why is this very metal?
The humor, like, built throughout the show, basically. It was cumulative. He also, like, I noticed like a lot of the songs, especially towards the end of the set, it became obvious how many of them, like, the chorus was just the name of the song.
Oh, geez, yeah, just shouted repeatedly.
Like, he's
yeah.
like, "This next song is Prometheus. About Prometheus." And he'd be like, "Prometheus." And be like, "Hey, I get it."
But you know what it reminds me of? If you've seen that Evergrey DVD, like, where they're in Sweden, and basically just every song, they ask the crowd to clap. Like, right? Like, and you're like, "This is a metal show." And you're like, "But I guess metal crowds in Sweden like to clap along." Like, it had that kind of feel to it where you're like, maybe this is like a European thing that we don't get. Like, so friends, like, I don't know. It was weird. But like, whatever. It was a fun show. But it was goofy. And considering how awesome that album was, I was hoping like there was potential there for it to be like a really epic, heavy show. And they made it goofy. And like, which is saying something when like you're essentially a black metal band, and like I expect Goofy to be like you're saying, like the Halloween store,
right?
Like spooky skulls and shit. Like,
yeah. Oh, plus they had like these
alien
like,
looking.
Yeah, like alien looking like exoskeleton type suits.
Yeah, their outfits were cool.
Yeah,
I'm sure they smelled horrible because because that's the thing, when you're on tour and you have stuff like that, like you can't throw that in the wash.
Yeah.
Like
like
if you had time, you could hand scrub it, but like if you're on a bus all day, you don't. So like, yeah, any stage rubber stuff.
So
you want to go in chronological order?
Yeah.
Okay, so then the next thing that happened was I saw Nightwish.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And
I heard about Nightwish. I did not.
This is the only thing I took notes. Like because this show
Well, okay, so preface that there was hope, right? There was a sliver of hope because people were saying they were playing like
There was a rumor before the tour that they were just going to play like Oceanborn in its entirety. Mm. And then I knew that was false because I went on Setlist FM or whatever and like looked up the couple previous nights. And here's the other thing is I have not listened to Nightwish, as in like none. I have not heard any Nightwish since like I guess it'd be like 2001, whatever, whenever Wishmaster came out. It was even 99, whatever. It's been like almost 20 years.
It was 2000s, but it
was like 2001. Yeah. So
I remember.
And the reason I stopped listening to it was because Wishmaster is not a good album, right? So, and like in Russia, like today, like if I were to play, Oceanborn for someone today, the other one's called The Angels Fall First, right? The first one. Mm-hmm. If I were to play either one of those for someone today, like who was just getting into metal, I would not expect them to like think it was cool. But it was like 20 years ago, there was like nothing sounded like that.
Yeah.
It was like a big deal, you know? And so it was like cool because it was different. And they were like, it wasn't like over the top shreddy, but they had like a lot of intricate parts. And like, it was just like cool and active to listen to. So then like, Wishmaster comes out. It's not good. Then, like, there's a whole bunch of drama about, like, they changed singers, whatever, and, you know, like, there was always this thing that was super annoying back in the day, right, where people, like, thought, is it Tarja or Tarja? I don't even know the right way to say her name.
Whatever.
But the woman
Finnish,
who used to be
like
the singer,
the worst.
Yeah, people are always like, oh, she's, like, such an amazing singer. You're like, but she's not? Like, if you've ever listened to anyone who's trained to sing, it's like, but whatever. It's like, when you have no point of comparison, like, why you would think it was cool, but she's not actually good. So now they have Floor Jansen, who, like, was in Arion.
Yeah.
And she's pretty good.
She's, like, honestly, I don't want to say female singers in metal. Female singers in this sort of subspace of metal,
in the like clean, fake opera singing thing,
right?
Because if we wanted,
and when she does belt style, it's really good. Like when she does non-operatic stuff, it's good. And there's not a lot of, even still, there's not that. There's a few more now. There's more female singer, like the singer for Unleash the Archers is basically like female Bruce Dickinson kind of thing.
Yeah,
but like. Women weren't even really trying to do that for the most part, other than like Doro and a few here and there. So like Floor is probably the best of that kind of style.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so actually, I really have to give her props at the show. I mean, she sounded great. She was in tune the whole time, even like when they harmonized and like through the hard parts. Like, and she didn't really sound like she was straining. Like, cause like that's the thing I hate about like Ramzet is like that woman. There's a couple tracks where it's just like they're clearly entirely outside of her range.
Yeah,
she's straining the whole time. Like Floor sounded like she had good breath control, especially considering these were songs someone else originally sang.
Yeah.
Right.
So the other thing before we keep going on that, I just wanted to add about Tarja that the story of Nightwish recruiting her, because that was the thing. It was, you know, like you were saying, nothing else sounded like that. And no one had really attempted that. Like, even male singers, they weren't really opera singers, right?
Yeah.
They were operatic.
Yeah.
And so, basically, you know, this band decided, and I guess they were kind of a little folk metal, a little bit.
Oh, no,
because they were
Finnish.
And there's
definitely
a lot of folk. I mean, but it doesn't even sound like folk anymore. Now it just sounds like fairy tale. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? It seemed a little more rooted in something. But basically, they convinced her to join a metal band. She did not listen to metal. She wasn't into metal. They're just like, this thing, it might be cool. And also, your odds of being a successful opera singer are very slim. But, you know.
Well, and probably also, I mean, so I don't know the rules in Finland. But, I mean, I imagine just being in the band got her a grant, like a government stipend.
Maybe. But, right?
It's like, you're going to get a payday regardless.
Right. But that was the thing. Like, you know, even back when they first came out, I remember, like, her, you know, her even saying, or maybe people saying about it, how opera's really hard
because there's a lot of opera singers way better than her that didn't make it.
Well, right, so, and that was the thing. So that's part of the, I think part of the subtext of that whole situation is like she wasn't that great at opera to begin with, but like nobody in metal knows that, and so they're like, sounds like opera, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, she's the best opera singer. And now she's like co-headline, like she, it's this year's Prague Power theme is, wait, really? Because the headliners are James LaBrie and Tarja.
I totally forgot.
It's
about
solo
that.
Vocalists who that, you're both kind of like, that you yeah, didn't but I don't think people place. Were listening to the band for that in the first place. But some people, yeah. You know.
No, James LaBrie's awful. Yeah. Can we? I have to tell my James LaBrie story again, just since we're on it. Like as I understand it, right, like Dream Theater were at this point where they were, after they fired Chuck, that they were just going to be an instrumental act. At least this is the story I've heard. And then they were like, but then we got this tape and we were like, oh man, this voice is just too good to pass up. And I was like, what was that tape though? Right? Because if that tape was the Winter Rose album, like
it might have been.
It's so bad. Like it's not just like, yes, the music is bad because it is butt rock.
Yeah.
But like his performance on it is bad. Like, so I don't know, maybe he made a demo that like of the Dream Theater songs.
That's
like
possible.
He, like, but you would have thought that somebody would have like posted that on the internet or something right now, you know?
Yeah.
Which makes me think they just listened to Winter Rose, which is awful. And I don't know like what that thought process is. and we all paid for it for the last 20 years.
Yeah. All right. So
So the show.
So okay, so here's the interesting thing. Okay. So when Floor joined Nightwish,
yeah,
I was like, oh wow, maybe I'll listen to Nightwish again, because I also like I listened to Oceanborn and then Wishmaster, and then I was like, that's enough, that's enough of that, and it just kind of went down from, and well, and then also like they brought in the bass player, I forget his name, but with the beard,
right,
and
he
started doing some vocals, and I was like, but that's not really what the whatever, I just wasn't into any of it anymore, and I was like, thank you. And occasionally I would hear something new and be like, eh, still no.
Right.
And then she joined, like, maybe? And then I heard the first song with her. I was like, it's it's going to be a no for me, dog. It's going to be... No, that's not gonna work.
Yeah, so okay. Yeah, so that dude, that bass player dude, he sings... I forget, he has a Finnish name. I don't remember. Yeah, so he's still in the band. And then the keyboard player is the original... like, he's the dude who, like, writes everything, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the guitar player that they call the Hobbit because he's 5'3".
A little tiny.
And then the drummer, who I don't know who he is. And then they had this other guy who, okay, so to your point about it being like folksy, they had this dude who played like a variety of like pan flutes, bagpipe type thing. So we actually had this one thing that I don't know what it was. So it was like, because it had a bag as if it were like some sort of bagpipe. But it wasn't a bagpipe because he wasn't like breathing into it. It was just like he was just doing this. Like I you know, it was weird. But so the whole thing started like with him doing this like fantasy whatever, and then the whole show was synced to the video, and it was weird because like. So they told on the thing it said doors at 7, show at 8, and they went on right at 8:30. Like they like at 8 they like put up this very I totally forgot about I didn't write this down. I'm so glad we're talking about this because I remembered because this killed me. They put up this like you know this backdrop that was like I don't know what it was supposed to be, whether it was supposed to be like you know, like a camera shutter or what, but it was like clearly a digital image that they'd spent a ton of processing power on rendering because it looked fucking gorgeous. Okay. And then there was like a countdown clock and then like 8:30 hit and it was like, jo-jo-jo, and like, brah, and then they started this whole thing and they were like, we're going to take you on an adventure where you can unplug from the digital world. And I was like, you are aware you are standing in front of a very large digital projection. And the whole thing, like, so then the rest of it was, right, it was all clearly, like, digitally rendered stuff. There was no, like filmed footage or photograph. Like, it was all totally digitally rendered. And, but the quality of that wasn't, at like as high as like because like the first thing I mean looked like something you would expect to see in like a AAA video game, right? And this other stuff was like something you'd expect to see in like a video game from 10 years ago, right? Like, it was like, it worked, it was fine, but it was just, the contrast was striking. Yeah. And so yeah, like they were totally playing to a click because they were timed with the video. And like, but whatever, for their, like, again, like, because they have their intricate parts, whatever, like it worked. Like, it wasn't, it didn't like suck the life out of the thing, but I don't know. It was just like, it was just kind of goofy. They played, but like I said, they were tight. Floor was good in terms of, like, you know, her pitch, and she was never straining, and everybody was together, and they played a couple songs I recognized. So, like, it did pay, like for instance, when they played Sacramento Wilderness, I'm like, I know this song. And so, like, actually what ended up happening is we didn't stay for the whole set, because we're like, oh, like, we're hungry, do you want to get food? I'm like, they played Sacramento Wilderness. Like, it's not going to get any better. Like, yeah. I know that song. That's, like, the Nightwish song that I know that the stuff happens. So, like, I feel like I took some notes on that. Let me see what else I put, because, okay, yeah. So, just to give you an overall sense of the video, like, so not only was it, like, you know, looks like a video game from 10 years ago, it, because of their, again, like, you think Sacramento Wilderness, and you think, like, if you think about, like, a lot of their cover art and stuff, and sort of the imagery, in my mind, it was like peak, like, wolf shirt.
Oh,
you know, like, you know, I don't know if people know that shirt I'm talking about. There's like this hilarious, like, hipster shirt that's like, it's like a wolf and like the moon and like, and then I'm thinking this, and then there's literally a part where they have wolves. And I was like, they had other weird stuff, like, they had, so in Gethsemane, so like, I know this song,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Nightwish is not one of those bands where I was like, man, I gotta read the lyrics because, like, I really want to know what they're singing about.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay, their
intelligibility was low.
So they're like, the chorus is about, like, Jesus's grave. Like, did you know?
Gethsemane was the garden,
right? Right.
Yeah.
But like a lot of bands, especially metal bands, will use things that sound, you know, like, religious, whatever, and then just it's about
just
something kinda, else,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And there's this whole thing, and they in this part, the reason I knew is because they actually projected the lyrics, but not all of them. So it was like, imagine like a hillside, right, where like the tomb might be, like, if you ever, so I went to Catholic school, and so we would have religion class, and you have these hilarious religion books, which are like, like, no one who seriously makes textbooks makes, like, textbooks for a religion class, right? Because that's, like, antithetical. So they're all in the same style. They're, like, if you ever think about, like, illustrated books from the 70s, that's what they look like, because that's when they were all made, and they've none of them been updated. And so it was, like, it's, like, that illustration you would think of the tomb, right? Where there's, like, the hillside, and then there's, like, boulder. And it's like that, but then but it's supposed to be kind of like in a forest. And so you don't see all the words. So I don't know what all the, and I actually made a note. I was like, oh, I should go read the words later to see exactly how goofy this is. But I didn't. And I was just like, I didn't know this was like about Jesus' grave. It was like, not what I'm expecting from a Finnish folk metal band. Cause it's like not really, it's not really in line with anything about their gimmick, but whatever. It was fine. It was the appropriate amount of Nightwish.
Well, they have a song on, I don't know if it's the last album, but I think the first one with Floor, that I think was about, like, Darwin. So,
yeah,
thematically,
yeah. See?
You
yeah,
know.
They're just all over,
it's all over the place.
It's like, whatever. They'll sing the song about Zeus or something next.
Exactly.
If they haven't already. I don't know.
I wouldn't
put it past me. But yeah, that was that. I don't know if you had any comments on Nightwish.
No, I mean, I wasn't there, but sure.
I just meant in general.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean, yeah, like, so and the Darwin song was the song that I like saw the video and I was like, oh, Floor's in the band, maybe. Nope. Like, it was a hard no. It was just, oh, this is not going to work for me at all. But
yeah. So then the next night I went to St. Vitus to see Without Waves and Moontooth. And I think we've talked about Without Waves before, right? They're from Chicago. They opened for November's Doom at that show,
oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like a heavy prog band. And so like they played pretty much the same set as the last time we saw them, and they closed with that song with the looper and everything, and it was cool. Like they were legit. Oh, the one they played a Ministry tune, I think. I can't remember, but I didn't know the song, so I was just like, eh, whatever. That was the low light of their set. It's when they played the song everyone knew. But then, so Moontooth, they're one of these bands where I've tried to see them 3 times, right? But it was like one time it was in Jersey, and I was just like, yeah, I don't really want to go, like, take the path to go see this band. And then the other time it was like something came up, or it was another show the same night, whatever. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go see this band. Because I'm not like a big fan. Like I've heard their stuff and I'm like, oh, that, like, they're a cool band, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm not in the habit of listening to them or anything. So they were really boring. because the deal was like, I say they're boring for the very reason why I think other people wouldn't think they were boring, because they were very much like approached it like they're a rock band, right? And they were like, all right, you guys ready to rock out? We're gonna like play the rock and roll for you, and like, you know, and and they're like, here's the catchy tune, here's that riff, you know, and like, and so it was just like, it was too, because like my sense of them was like, oh, they have some cool like proggy parts, whatever, and they were just playing it like a straight ahead, like we're a rock band, whatever, and I watched like 3 songs, and then I went to talk to Zach in Without Waves, and I was like, cool, man. It was great seeing you guys. And then I left. So it was like, you don't need to see Moontooth. Unless you just want to go to a fun show to get drunk at. Like, go to a rock show. They're because you can go to a lot of rock shows and the band is terrible, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're a good band. They know how to play. I just don't really care about, like, rock music.
Yeah.
I'm just like, whatever. Yeah, so that was that. And then was there another show that week? I feel like I've been to a billion shows the past 2 weeks, but I can't remember.
We went to 2 Minutes to Late Night taping.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
And but there's we don't really say about that other than check out 2 Minutes to Late Night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, so actually, yeah, and that was the night before Nightwish. So then, okay, I just have to plug myself. So then this is the reason I thought I was really busy, because I was. So the next night, I flew to Dallas because the Dallas Neoclassical Ballet played one of my pieces, and that was really cool. And I have some footage of it. So, like, if you follow me on Instagram, SwankSkillionaire, I'll be posting it on there. But it was the thing that was noteworthy for me was this was the first time I've ever just like shown up to performance of my own music. Cause like, it's always like my stuff's so weird. It's all like, I have to babysit it and like do everything.
Yeah.
And this was literally like, I didn't find out about it until like a week and a half before they were doing it. And then I just showed up. I knew one person involved with the thing. And like, I just like showed up and they played it and it was awesome. And I was like, all right, that was, I guess this is what it feels like if you're important, like, right? It's like, because like if you're important, people do stuff for you. Yeah, but like, yeah. I'm nobody, so I normally have to do everything. So that was really cool. And then did anything happen this week? Oh, we Ivan's band.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was that? Friday. Today's Sunday. Friday, we went back to St. Vitus, because everything happens at St. Vitus, including that the 2 minutes to late night tapings. So it's like I've been
at St. Vitus a lot.
Yeah. So Bellis, our buddy Ivan, plays synth in that band, and they're a weird band because it's basically like if you took a stoner doom band, right, and you like, so it's that tone, and you're like, okay, we're gonna play straight ahead black metal, but then we're going to have like crazy wall of sound keyboards on top of it. So I'd seen them at Bar Matchless a few months ago, and that show was awesome because at that time, I didn't know who they were. I didn't know who any of the other bands were. I was actually not expecting a metal show. I thought it was like I thought it was going to be a weird noise show, whatever. Cause anytime Ivan's like, I'm playing on this show, it's like a weird noise show. And then it was a metal show, and all the bands were pretty good, and they were really good. I actually thought they sounded better at the previous show than at this show. The cool thing about this show is that it was super loud. Because, like, New York shows are never loud. And this show, I was, like, so glad I had my plug. I mean, I always have my plugs. But it was, like, it was loud. I don't know if you had anything to say about their set.
I dug Ivan's synth tones. And
yeah, his synth parts were easily the coolest part.
Filter stuff he was doing. Yeah, it was cool. And, yeah, they had some cool songs.
Yeah, so it was this is so weird. So every metal festival now has to have like a pre-show as a way to like, it's like, but I get it because it's one of those deals where it's one of two things. Either you're traveling to go somewhere to a metal fest, and so you're like, man, I don't travel for like one day or whatever, and now it doesn't matter if your fest is 1, 2, 3, or 4 days. People will put a pre-show, whatever. So it's like, he gives you the option, like, all right, you're going to take a week off work, whatever. You can go to more stuff. But I also feel like that's also the component of, like, if the festival happens in a city that you, like, you happen to reside in, it's just another show you can go to.
Yeah.
So this was really weird, though, because this was, like, the kickoff show for Decibel Metal Fest thing in Philadelphia. So it's like, wait, it's in the wrong city. But it was Bellis, Believer, and Incantation. And so, like, you know, Believer on their thing, it was like, they built it as special old school thrash set. And so I was like, oh, so that means you're just going to play the stuff that people actually know. Because, like,
yeah,
they reformed in 2005, and I didn't even know that until, like, I looked it up the day, because it was like, when it said special old school thrash shit, I was like, oh shit, did they have like two albums before they got kind of proggy that I don't know about, and that are just like totally straight ahead thrash? Because I could see it as one of those things where they were like, oh man, we haven't played a gig in like 2 years, like we don't have time to practice the intricate stuff up. Mm. Let's just play that first album, like, and we'll like claim it's a big deal. No, they played the stuff people wanted to hear. They were not loud, but, like, it also wasn't that super entertaining. We left, like, halfway through their set.
Yep. And then I saw the next day somebody posted on the Prog Power unofficial Facebook group a clip from St. Vitus, which I assume means it was their clip, because, like, I mean, maybe not. Maybe someone was just like, oh, yeah, and thought it was cool. But, it said it was at St. Vitus, even the thing. And so somebody who posted was like, you know, Glenn should book these guys for Prog Power. And I was like, considering St. Vitus wasn't sold out.
Yeah. And it is a small room.
And then like they're like, yeah, but he may be like a middle spot. Like, and I wasn't going to keep engaging, but I was about to be like, yeah, like, you must not have been there, because I feel like if you were there, you would have been like, okay, this is not enough people.
You've also probably never tried to sell tickets to a festival.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that, I mean, they were fine, but it was just, I mean, 30 years too late, you know, like,
yeah.
And then I don't think any of us had any desire to see Incantation.
No.
And I didn't hear from anyone later like, oh dude, Incantation tore it up. Okay, so then last night we went to a wrestling show.
And then last night we went to the wrestling show, which I thought would be funny to, we should totally include that, because
well, it's the reason we went was very musical. Yeah, yeah.
It is related to.
So I went to school with a bunch of the dudes from what at the time was Mondolin of the Well, right? Mm-hmm. And actually the first person that I met in that band was Greg Massey, the guitar player, because he was working the admissions office. And it's actually funny because I also met Mike Van Dyne, the original drummer from Arsis. He was also working in the admissions office. I met a lot of cool metal dudes at the Berkeley admissions. You know what? Greg might not have been working at admissions. He might have been working at financial aid. But it was like something involved with like me being enrolled in class.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you know, Mondolin of the Well then became KO.DOT, and then everyone quit. We were at NAMM, and when we were at the Ladder Math show, What was the name of the guy who just who played with the fronting track? He just played
guitar. I don't know, but I like gotta... if you want to see it, there's a the clip is it's on okay, so it's on my other YouTube channel. So there's the Your Music Is Bad YouTube channel, and then there's the One True Matt, which is mostly just guitar shit. And
And this is guitar shit.
This is guitar shit. And so for like there's sure. there's a really cool couple clips of Ladder Math on the second NAMM vlog. And or maybe it's the first one. One of the NAMM ones, because I posted the wrong one and then like tagged Ladder Math and like individually each member Ladder Math, and they were like, "Bro, where's Ladder Math?" And I'm like, "Oops, it's in the other one that I already posted and didn't tag you guys." So I like went and like tagged him in that one. Anyway, so after Ladder Math, there's a clip of this dude who just like he had the whole space that like their entire band was taking up because it was just him and a track. Which I guess was like an entire song.
It wasn't even like...
And then he just played like the rhythm guitar part.
It wasn't like... That was the thing. It wasn't like a backing track. It was definitely a fronting track. And the other thing is, I don't even think it was like a performance track. I think he just played along to the CD.
Yeah, and just kind of like walked back and forth. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. He was on the move the whole time. He was just pacing back and forth like, I'm playing guitar. And it... Oh, man, it was bad. But anyway, so at that hilarious show... Greg Massey was there, and it was the first time he'd been to NAMM, and I was like, "Yeah, dude, like, we come every year because it's awesome." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm doing all the music for this professional wrestling, I want to say fed, but it, promotion I think is the correct term, Capital Wrestling, and they hold events in Hoboken, and so." He's like, yeah, there's a, you know, there's a show coming up. And we're like, dude, we're there. Like, so it was last night, and it was amazing. It was like $15 for like, what, like 3 hours? They were like, it'll be like two and a half hours. It was 3 hours. It was a solid 3 hours. Cause doors were at 7 and the show was at 8 and it was over like after 11.
Yeah.
And it had everything from a wrestling hot dog to a clip-on tie spot, to a bunch of dives because it was an indie show. But there's even a dude with a heavy metal gimmick where like he has a flying V and he had a half stack that like he'd covered all the logos on with like his logo. Like that was awesome.
And he had like a wireless, so he walked around and like played along to it.
To his entrance theme. It was way better than like there was a guy, it was in the early 90s at WCW. I think what did they call him? I think he was just called the Headbanger. But he just kinda like he kinda had like Ultimate Warrior type fit, and he was just kinda amped up, and it was like he didn't actually like play or nothing. Like this dude was like, I'm playing the riff, I'm playing the high part, like It was props to this guy because it was very entertaining. But yeah, that show was hilarious. I'm trying to think if there's like
like you mentioned, the first match was a tag team, and one of the tag teams was a wrestling hot dog. The other one was CPA, who just he just had like a white dress shirt and like
he was wrestling in dress shoes.
Shoes and like, but then the clip on tie, which became like a
clip on tie where the other team was this guy like was pretty huge dude. The crowd was kind of annoying because it was full of smarks who were trying to get themselves over. For those of you who don't know anything about wrestling, what that is they say a bunch of shit. It's basically like people in the crowd are trying to be like the star of the show. Basically, it's when you say trying to put yourself over. And a smark is someone who definitely spends money on wrestling, but also definitely knows that it's not real. which back in the day, like used to be kind of a thing. So they kept calling him Diet Bobby or Bobby Light or something like that. Like, I can't remember because like he had a very Bobby Roode gimmick, and his partner was this guy who was like really fit. Like dude looked like a swimmer. Like he had a six pack and he was tall, but he was thin. Like he was not built like a pro wrestler. Right, like he was built like a basketball player or he really looked like a swimmer. And so it was the two of them against the hot dog and the CPA. And the spot was dude pulls, like grabs the CPA by the tie, but it just comes off because it's a clip-on. And so then the totally pro-wrestling contrived ness of it is he goes to complain to the ref, like, guys, we're in a clip-on. Like, okay. And while he's doing that, guy whips out another clip-on and puts it back on. So it was pretty funny.
And then there's this weird, like, we thought it was going to be the theme of the whole show because the first match ends, and then for no reason.
No. That's how the match ended. The match didn't end.
Oh, right. Because
they stopped the match inexplicably.
Right, because the CPA suddenly turned on the hot dog, and like they just gang up on him.
There was no backstory or anything. I mean, maybe if we'd gone to the previous Capital Wrestling show, maybe there would have been some conflict brewing. But yeah, the CPA just starts beating up the hot dog.
Yeah,
and like
and then the second match, which was with the heavy metal guy. Yeah, and the heavy metal guy,
it was another tag team match.
His tag team partner betrayed him at the end of the match, and then the three of them ganged up on him, and one of them at one point was like, you don't belong, like, I don't, maybe he just like came from a different promotion or something, because it sounded like they mentioned wrestling schools
So they definitely, like, on the bigger indie shows, right, people will travel from either from their school or from some other promotion.
Yeah, and so I thought maybe that was the bit they were doing, is that he's from a different school or something.
But again,
like,
there was we didn't have sufficient backstory.
Right, it didn't
to
make
know
sense.
Why?
And the combination of also, like, so the hot dog guy was black, and everyone else in that match was white, and so them ganging up on him, and then telling this guy he doesn't belong. I'm like, is this some weird xenophobic thing I'm not catching on to? Like, are we supposed to all be like against immigrants or something? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
But
super
it was
weird.
Then it didn't really.
No, but
keep
but,
up
but
after
then it definitely
that.
Wasn't because so that second tag team match was the kickoff of a tag team gauntlet match.
Oh yeah.
Like, which we occupied like an hour. Well,
but again,
and a half.
I was like, is the entire gauntlet going to be like somebody gets betrayed, right, and then the next match? Because then that dude, his tag team partner left, but they won.
Right, they won.
They won, and then
they
betrayed him and beat him up. And so he was by himself when the next tag team comes out.
And just squashed him.
And then they just, yeah. And so, but I was like, hey, maybe keep it going. Maybe have one of them.
But then there was this tag team. They were called the Perfect Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, before the show started, right, when we were just sitting there, they actually played not the theme song, but the Machine Head song,
Deep Purple.
Deep Purple. Machine
Perfect
Head
Strangers.
Is the Deep Purple album.
Yeah.
They're playing, they played Perfect Strangers. But so then these guys come out as the Perfect Strangers, which I don't understand why that was a gimmick, but they had TPS on their trunks. Like, and so I'm thinking like Office Space, the movie where they're like, hey, you got those TPS reports? But then the one dude in that team, like, his gimmick was like that he was Greek, and they kept being like, opa,
yeah,
and like the crowd, he was like over dude,
the crowd was so into it that it kept going like the entire show. People would just be like, opa again,
and
be like, that guy's not even out here.
I'm
right
not
now.
Greek, I marked out for it. I was like,
yeah,
opa,
no,
okay, like, yeah, let's do this. Like, I don't know, it was, the whole thing was hilarious. It was like, it was definitely $15. It was the most fun you can have for $15 in Hoboken.
Oh yeah.
I will say that definitively.
Listen, I've seen used car sales lot wrestling before, and this was better than that.
Well, the other thing was, remember when at Heavy Montreal, when we saw the pro wrestling, wrestling, but it was all like high spots.
Yeah,
there was no plot. There were no betrayals in that.
It was disappointing because I thought that would have been funnier to hang out and watch the wrestling at Heavy Montreal. But
I think Canadian pro wrestling is just too polite.
Probably, yeah. Well, also there's a lot of like very Canadian themes, like a couple.
Oh, yeah,
guys were like,
guys,
lumberjacks,
like lumberjacks
or something,
yeah.
And I was like, are there other themes I'm not picking up on because I'm not Canadian or something? And they're like, well, you know, he didn't say he was sorry last time. He didn't say, you know, good match after the last time when he beat us, and so now I'm quite cross about that.
Hey, what's all this arguing about?
what's arguing about? Oh, you guys are gonna have to wrestle about that. I think that's definitely gonna have to wrestle. About
let's
that.
Let's get a referer in here.
Yeah, so I mean, that's all the recent shows and stuff. So we're gonna be getting back to some regular episodes, hopefully. I mean, we might try out some new stuff. We're not all of them are gonna be streamed, but we still can stream. So maybe, especially if there's any interest in like interactive stuff, like Q&A episodes or anything like that, we would totally be down to do that.
You can ask us why, what bands we hate and why. That would be great.
And
you know, let us know wherever you check us out, YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or whatever. And I think that's the show. So I'm turning it off now.